Well, I actually want to talk this morning, changing what we were going to do, about being naturally supernatural and about what it is that we're trying to do in ministry times here. And it's my conviction that this isn't just for ministry times here. This is meant to be happening in every church, in every youth group. Whenever we come together, we can pray for one another and expect God to do things, because he is a God who answers prayer. And the danger of doing what we do as Soul Survivor and leading it from the front is that folk can start to think that it's about what some of us have got some sort of power that other people don't have, or some of us have some sort of gifting that others don't have. And that's a complete lie. That's such a lie, it makes me angry, because it's from the pit of hell. Because what that is, it's that's a lie sent from Satan to stop you moving in the power of the Spirit. And the whole ministry of Jesus is for the whole church of Jesus. And when we put one or two people on a pedestal and say, this is the anointed man of God, that's the anointed woman of God, they come and do the magic. What it does is it disempowers the rest of the church. And the church is meant to be a church of power. The gospel isn't just words. The gospel is power. And yet, it's not just power for power's sake. It's power that reveals God's love. Years and years and years ago, before any of you were born, I was at university in Birmingham. And there was a healing evangelist from Europe was coming through the city. And he did this big healing crusade in the center of Birmingham. And I went there. And I was sitting near the back. There were, I don't know, a few thousand there. And it was fine. And he called people out and they prayed with them and stuff happened to them. But then towards the end, I noticed that there was a guy two rows in front of me with no legs. And he was in a wheelchair and he had two stumps. He was wearing shorts. And then the healing evangelist said, now there are some of you here in wheelchairs. I want you by faith to stand up. And as you stand up by faith, God is going to heal you and give you the power to walk. And as I watched, this guy's two friends picked him up by the armpits and they held him up. And I watched this guy frantically moving his stumps faster and faster by faith so that he might walk. And he was going faster and faster. He was going red in the face. And after a while, he started to lose his breath. And there were a few cheers as some people started walking. I'm not saying that people weren't healed at all. Maybe some were. But I was mesmerized by this guy that was just going red and was getting exhausted, trying by faith to get his stumps to become legs. And after a while, the meeting finished. And his two friends were just in an embarrassed way. They put him back in his wheelchair. And they left him. They left him and everyone started leaving. And I couldn't get out of my seat for a while. I sat there two rows behind him, just watching him as he sat in his wheelchair, trying to get his breath back. I'm going like this and calming down. And then I sat there as he just sat there, just staring. And then after a while, he shrugged his shoulders and then he started to wheel himself away. And I made a vow that evening. And the vow was this. I never, ever, ever want to be involved in anything as ugly and horrible and ungodly and un-Jesus as that. Because that ain't Jesus. I don't know what else it was, but it wasn't Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't treat people like that. Because that's not his heart. That's not his character. And to this day, I regret that I didn't go up to that guy and give him a hug and say, come on, let's go for coffee and actually say something. I was too embarrassed and I was too shocked. And you know, that was a display of power that didn't involve love. That didn't involve love, that didn't involve caring, that didn't involve compassion, that wasn't prepared to pastor him. That was macho Christianity of the worst sort. And yet, I believe with all my heart that God moves in power today to heal people, to set people free, to release people in the ministries that he has for them. He comes in power to release us and to demonstrate his love. But what it is, guys, what it is, it's not power for power's sake. His power is there for a reason, and his power is there to reveal his love. And what's happened in the church is, over the years, we've had some in the church so searching for power, and I've been there, that we've actually forgotten what it's all about. And we got mesmerized by minor things, and then others in the church who love God's word, who love the Bible, they've rejected everything because they've seen the excesses. And there has to be today another way. And it's what I call being naturally supernatural. There has to be another way. It's word and spirit. It's not just word and it's not just spirit. It's both together. It's being biblical and being spirit-led. Someone once said, the word without the spirit, you dry up. The spirit without the word, you blow up. The word and the spirit, you grow up. And we need both. And I just want to look at a couple of scriptures that I hope will illustrate this. You know, Jesus, if you read the Gospels, Jesus was always loving on people. He was always, in Mark's Gospel, you know, he was either healing someone, he was either on his way to heal someone, or coming back having healed someone. You know, he was always setting people free. And it wasn't just with the miracles. He cared. It's so many times it says he had compassion on people. So many times he saw the one in the crowd who was alone. He saw the one who was the outcast. He saw the one who was on the edge. And he went to them. He went to them. He felt the touch of the one bleeding woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years in a crowd. You know, in this crowd, he feels your pain. Those of you that, you know, like the dear young lady who's lost someone very close to her. You know, he wanted her to know, in the midst of all these people, I know your pain, and I'm with you, and I notice you, and I love you. And that's what he's always done, because that's his nature. At the end of Mark chapter 1, there's this amazing little story. It's just a brief story, and I love it. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, we read this. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." It says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You know, the man with leprosy begged him on his knees. On his knees. I don't know if he was on his knees because the leprosy was so bad he couldn't walk anymore and he would shuffle on his knees, or if he was so desperate he just got on his knees and he begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And then Jesus' response was, "I am willing, be clean." And he set him free there and then. But there's one bit that I missed. I missed three key words. If we can have the passage back out, that would be great. I missed three key words in that passage. Okay, that's a different version, but that doesn't matter. In my version, in the NIV, in my version, it says, begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And then it says, Jesus was indignant. Another version has, Jesus had compassion. But in the original Greek, most of the versions have Jesus was indignant. But I want to show that it's about his compassion. Okay? And what does it mean, Jesus was indignant? What does it mean when someone's indignant? It means they're a bit offended. Indignant kind of means offended. It means put out. And this guy, this leper, he comes to Jesus on his knees and begs him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And then it says Jesus was offended. And then he says, "I am willing, be clean." What was going on? I think it was this. I think when this guy said, "If you're willing," Jesus' response was, if I'm willing, you can ask such a question. You are in agony. Bits are dropping off you. Your skin is being torn up. You have no social life. You have to ring a bell so people get out of the way so they don't catch your disease. You're deformed as a result. You can't look at yourself in the mirror. Your life is a misery in every way. And you're asking, am I willing? We clearly haven't met yet. You clearly don't know me to even ask that question. Of course I'm flipping willing. Be clean. You know, God wants the best. He wants to set us free. He does not send us pain and suffering. He wants to release us from pain and suffering. And that's what Jesus did all his life. And that's what the early church did. And you see, when Jesus set the man free, he set him free because of his compassion. The other translation is Jesus had compassion on the man. And that's what happens. There's an amazing little story in Exodus 33. And it's in the story of Moses. And Moses, at a point in Exodus 33, and now where are we? In verse 18 of Exodus 33, then Moses said to the Lord, now show me your glory. Now show me your glory. And then, and the Lord said, I will, hold on. He says, have we got that on there? Now show me your glory. I can't see. Okay, I don't know what version we've got there, but that's not the NIV. In all the other versions, except what we've got on there, it's Moses says, you can read it in your Bible. Now show me your glory. Do you know when I first read that, I couldn't understand. Because it was like I wanted to say, Moses, what's wrong with you? If anyone's seen God's glory, it's you, Mo. I mean, you've seen it all, mate. What are you doing saying, now show me your glory? You know, who's seen more of the glory of the Lord, the power of the Lord, than Moses? Just think about it. For Moses, it starts off with the burning bush. I mean, that would do for all of us for the rest of our lives. If I saw the burning bush, I would write a book, The Burning Bush Experience and My Part in It. Me and the Burning Bush. And it would be all that. Then there's the plagues in Egypt, which Moses was involved in. The Nile turning to blood, the plague of locusts, the one I love, the plague of frogs. You know, and all the other flipping plagues. Then, God says to Moses, put out your staff. I'm going to part the Red Sea so that Israel, the slaves of Israel, can pass on dry land. Can you imagine? I mean, if any of us got to part a sea, got involved, that would do us for the rest of our lives. Then they get into the wilderness and there's no water. And there's 2 million of them. And they're complaining because they're in a desert and there's a drought. And then the Lord says to Moses, see that rock? Hit the rock with your staff. And Moses does it. And San Pellegrino water comes out by the gallon. And you know what? It's not a little bit of water for Moses to taste from the rock. The estimates are at that time there were 2 million Israelites in the desert that Moses was trying to lead. And it says that there was enough water came from the rock to satisfy all their thirst. It's a lot of flipping water. There was no hose pipe ban in the desert. That would have done me. And then there was when they didn't have food, the Lord sent manna from heaven 6 days a week and double before the Sabbath. Now just one of those would have been enough. And Moses has seen all that. Moses has been involved in all of that. And having seen and been involved in all of that, he then says to the Lord, now show me your glory. Now show me your glory. And I'm thinking, Moses, you greedy git. Leave some for the rest of us. Leave some for you know what? What else? Do you know how, having done all of that, when Moses says, now show me your glory, do you know what the Lord does? He replies like this. I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Having seen all the power, when Moses says, now show me your glory, the Lord answers with three key words: goodness, mercy, compassion. My friends, that's the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is in his character, and his power is manifest to display his character. His power is manifest to display his character. And do you know, over the last few years, every time I've seen God at work, every time, my response has been not, wow, what a powerful God. There's an element of God, of that, but it's been much more, God, you're so kind. You're so flipping kind. How did you do that? You're amazing. You're amazing. And do you know, that's what he wants to, you know, he acts out of compassion. And he, when he reveals his glory, he's revealing his character, his goodness, his mercy, his compassion. And that's what the world needs to know. And when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, when he touched people, they were set free. And his goodness, his mercy, and his compassion were revealed. And people put their faith in him. They didn't put their faith in him because they were impressed by his power. They put their faith in him because they were changed by his love. And that's the story of the early church. God moved through the early church to do that. And do you know what we need? Yes, in Scotland, we need a church that is going to rise up. We need a church that is going to rise up and is going to move in the power of love. In the power of love, so that those who aren't Christians, they know. They know. And it's not just one or two. It's you. What's your name, mate? Yeah, you. What? Come here. What's your name?
Name's Ari.
Ari. Okay, this is Ari. Turn around, Ari. I've never met Ari before, but you know what? God wants to use Ari to set people free. He wants to use Ari to bring people healing to people's bodies and hearts. He wants to use Ari to speak his words to people so that they know that they're loved and they're cared for. I say that not because I know Ari, but because I know God, but because I know Jesus. And I don't know, Ari, are you very spiritual? Not really. A bit. Are you very holy? A bit. All right, well, he's better than me then, because I'm not very spiritual or very holy. Ari, you can go sit down, mate. And you know what? Whether we are or we aren't, it's not about us. God wants to use us. And this is, God wants to use you. And what we want to do in this week is we want to train you for the next 51 weeks. We want to train you. We want God to bring healing to you. We want you to know his love. And so I'm going to just spend the next few minutes trying to explain to you how some of this works and how we can pray for each other here and practice so that when we go home, it's not something we remember that happened at the end of July at Lendrick Muir. First of all, you know, God is speaking to all of us. It's just that most of us don't know how to listen to him. God is speaking to all of us, but most of us expect God to speak in a religious voice. And when I say God speaks to me, it's not, hear ye, God calling Mike, are you receiving me? Tablet of stone on its way down, duck. It's not like that. It's not like that. He speaks in a much more ordinary way. He speaks my language. And you know what he does? I think the Bible makes it clear throughout the scripture that God shouts to his enemies and he whispers to his friends. And the reason he whispers to us is so that we would come close. It's so that we would, you know, he'll speak and I'll say, "What was that, Lord? Could you not hear me? You might need to come a little closer. What was that, Lord? You're still not close enough. What was that, Lord?" And he wants us to get so close that we can feel his breath on our necks. Because he's into intimacy. He's not into show business. He's into intimacy. He's into friendship. "I no longer call you servants," said Jesus in John 15, "for a servant does not know what his master is doing. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have received from my Father, I have made known to you." It's your birthright. It's your birthright. And what the way it happens with me is often it's like, I don't know if it's God for sure until after I've said it. Because that's where faith comes in. And I made an agreement with God a few years ago that if I thought he was speaking, I was going to follow him, whatever the risk. Because I don't mind looking foolish. I've spent most of my life looking foolish. Look at me. You know, it doesn't faze me anymore. But my longing to see God at work is greater than my fear of failure. Is that the case for you? Are you more afraid of your reputation or failure or whatever than your longing to see God work in power? And so what happens is, it's like suddenly I might just get a thought that comes into my head. And I'm thinking, that's a funny thought. Where did that thought come from? Why would I think a thought like that? That's a bit of an unusual thought. And then I'll say, "Lord, is that you or is it indigestion?" And in my case, fairly regularly, obviously, it's indigestion. But I'm learning to discern more and more what is him whispering. And do you know, over the last years, do you know, I'm going to tell you some stories. And I'm going to tell you ones where it worked. Not because I want to look good, although I do. But more because I want you to know, I'm not very good at this stuff. I'm thick. I'm not the brightest that there is by any means. You know, I struggle with my weight. You know, I struggle with other things. I'm not the most spiritual, holy person. But I've decided with this one life I've got, I'm going to give it my best shot. With this one life I've got, I'm gonna give it all, and I'm gonna take risks of faith. And if I look stupid, well, no one dies. And I'm gonna tell you some stories, and I want this to encourage you, because this is what you can do. This is one I love. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. One of the other soul survivors in the South. We were in the middle of a prayer time, and it was towards the end of the week. And suddenly, I was standing on the stage, and this thought came into my head. There's someone here, just like it happened earlier on, who's just prayed to me, and this person's prayed to me for the first time ever. He's not a Christian, he doesn't know me, and he's been mocking everything that's been going on all week. His friends invited him, and he's been teasing his friends and saying, "Oh, this is all a load of rubbish. This doesn't make sense. There's no God," all of that. And he's just prayed to me for the first time, and he said to me, "God, if this is real and you really do exist, would you show me? Would you speak to me?" And then I felt the Lord say to me, "And his name is Brian." And so it was like, here we go. And I said, "I think there's someone here. You're not a Christian. You've never prayed. You've been mocking everything that's going on. You've been teasing your friends. But you just prayed just a few seconds ago. And you said, 'God, if this is real, would you speak to me? Would you show me?' And your name is Brian. Well, he is real, Brian. And he's showing you right now. Would you come forward?" And do you know, immediately, this kid came forward. 15 years old, I found that afterwards. This young guy, and he was sobbing. And his friends were crying, and they got beside him and they started praying for him. He gave his life to Jesus. He gave his life to Jesus. And you know, they were telling me the next day, he was walking around the site and he was going up to strangers and he was saying to them, "He knows my name. He knows my name." Now, how isn't that kind of God? Isn't that good of God? Isn't that merciful of God? Doesn't that break your heart? Doesn't that make you want to love him more? Isn't that just so Jesus? So flipping Jesus. And I want to see more of that. Because I want to see Jesus glorified. And he wants to work through us, through you and me. There was this one was from last summer. It was Soul Survivor B, which happened after Scotland. And it was the last night. It was the last night of Soul Survivor B. And we were in the middle of just praying for people. We were about to finish. And then I just felt the Lord spoke to me. And again, it was just like this butterfly landing and taking off again. And what I got was, there's someone here, again, who's just prayed. And said, "God, I can't go home tomorrow unless I meet with you." And they've prayed because their mum has a mental illness. And they've said to me, "Lord, I can't face going home to cope with my mum's mental illness unless you meet with me." And so I said it. And I said, "Where are you? You just prayed that." To my horror, and to this day, I don't completely understand it. To my horror, immediately, about 200 young people came forward. And as they were coming forward, they were sobbing. They were just, loads of them were sobbing. And we had to do a whole load of praying. And a bit I was confused. I said to my friends who were leading the thing with me, I said, "I don't get it. I don't quite understand. I thought the Lord said there was one person. What happened there?" Now, I don't know if 200 people prayed the same prayer. I don't know. Or maybe there were 200 whose mum struggles with mental illness. And they were just so dead. They came, I think a lot of them, it would have been. They came forward anyway because it's like, this is near enough and I'm desperate. And you know what? That's okay to respond to one like that. This is near enough and I'm desperate. But you know, I was still puzzled. And the next morning, I was on the site as they were packing up to leave. And this youth leader found me. And he said, "I've been looking for you. I need to tell you about last night. There's a girl that we brought with our youth group who wasn't a Christian. She lasted until last night, not a Christian. And then last night in the meeting, she prayed for the first time. And she said, 'God, if you're real, and this is real, would you tell Mike about my mum's mental illness?' And as soon as she said that, you spoke. She lost it. She started weeping. Her friends who knew her story, they started weeping. They prayed for her. She gave her life to Jesus last night. She was filled with the Spirit. And now she's going home equipped to go back to help her mum in her mental illness, to cope." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that so kind of flipping Jesus? Wait, one of my favorites. I'll just tell you a couple. One that I'm still so, I love this. Just over a year ago, I went to California, to Southern California, and there's about 6 or 7 churches that I visit and share with. And there's this one church in Newport, in Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, called Rock Harbor. And a year ago when I went, I just felt the Lord say to me, "There's a couple here who haven't been able to have children, and it's a really painful thing. And just last week, they went for the first time to the doctor to start looking at treatment to help them to have children, because they haven't been able to have them. And they went last week for the first time." So I said it. I said, and then I thought, no one's going to respond to this publicly, but I felt the Lord say to me, "Ask them to come forward." So I said, "You know, you might not be able to, but if you can, if that's precisely you, why don't you come forward now?" This young couple walked forward from the left. And as they came, they both started crying. And I tell you, I lost it as I saw their faces. And I jumped off the little stage and I went and just gave them a hug. And the three of us were hugging, and I just prayed for them. And I just prayed that the Lord would grant their heart's desire. Well, then they went back. The meeting finished. I didn't talk to them. I left. I went back with the Soul 61s. There was about 20 of us on the team, 22 of us. And we went back to Rock Harbor. And you know, about 2 weeks before going back to that church, I thought of this couple. And I remember praying, Lord, I'd love it if I could meet them. And I'd love it if they were pregnant. I would love that, Lord. Anyway, I prayed for the next couple of weeks. And then the day before, on the Saturday, I prayed again. And for some reason, I started getting nervous. And then I felt the Lord say to me, you're going to meet them tomorrow, and they're going to be pregnant. Well, after the 5 p.m. service, this couple came up to me, and immediately I knew. And she was larger than I am. And she said, we want to introduce ourselves. And she said, you prayed for us last year. And I said, I lost it. I said, it's you. It's you. I prayed yesterday and the Lord told me I'd see you. And they were due to have their baby in 4 days' time. They'll have had their baby by now. And do you know what that did? That just encouraged them. They were so encouraged. They were so encouraged that God is real. And that God is there. Now, I would love to make this the next bit up and say to you that when I get these words, I stand here and suddenly I'm zzzz. And someone said to me earlier on, he'd never been to this before. And that was one of the reasons why I decided to speak on this. He came up to me and he said, I've never been to anything like this. It seems weird, but there's something really nice about it. And he said, so, what can you tell me about myself? You know, do you just know about me? And I was like, no, it doesn't really work like that. It really doesn't work like that. It's like, so how do you get that? And I said, well, it's just if God speaks and it's up to him, not up to me. I can't say, you know, it's like, you know, it's like not like I can look around and, oh, yeah, I see your sin. I know what you were thinking when you were looking at that young lady. That's a joke. What I'm saying is, I can't, it doesn't work like that. It's not fortune telling, all right? It's not fortune telling. It's not about, you know, the gift of prophecy is not about revealing the future. It's about revealing Jesus. It's about revealing his love and his grace and his mercy. And what we do as we pray for each other, you know what? We grow in this. We grow in this. And I want you to start. Just start. And don't do this. Don't be praying for someone or go up to someone and say, thus saith the Lord, he has told me that the reason you're walking with a limp is because you haven't forgiven your sister. And then they say, well, I haven't got a sister. You must be lying. Don't do that. You know, you just go up to someone and humbly. Hey, you could be wrong about this, but just wondering, have you got a sister? And then they might say, no, I haven't. And then that's easy. Oh, okay then, I got that wrong. And then they're left a bit puzzled. But they might say, yeah, actually, I have. And then you might say, sometimes in a family, you know, we can really hurt each other. I'm just wondering, I could be wrong here, but I wonder if, has your sister really hurt you? And are you struggling to let go of it? Is it really tough? And I might say, yeah, how do you know? It's really tough with my sister and I feel really bruised. Hey, why don't we pray about it? Why don't we pray about it? I just wondered and I think Jesus wants to really meet with you. And he loves you. You know he loves you. He knows your pain. And he wants to meet with you. And you see, it's not about you. It's about him. And you can say it like that. And then also in praying for people. You know, we want you to grow in praying for people and following the lead of the Holy Spirit. And it's about making space. Do you know, in the Church of Jesus, what we do is we plan everything. And it's good. The Holy Spirit can help us in our planning. But you know, we planned this meeting. And then just before I spoke, I didn't do this as an illustration. I just was feeling, no, Mike, wait. Just wait. And I was like, oh, are you sure, Lord? This is really important to say this, and I planned it. And you know, is it just me? Is it just me or is it you? And I wasn't sure. And then it was like, wait. And even now, I'm not, you know, I could have got it wrong because God meets with people all the time. But I thought he said that. And so what we do is we take, you know what? We take risks. We make space. And that's what we do when we pray. And rather than, we're going to come into land now, but rather than try and give you a whole teaching on how to pray, I'm going to demonstrate it. Tom, come. Heal. No, 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 no. Okay. Now, this is just an example. Some of you have seen this before. This is for those of you that haven't. We're in the meeting, you know, or we might be at a bus stop, but we're in the meeting. And I'm looking for someone to pray for because I've just heard this inspiring talk on praying for people and being actually supernatural by this good-looking Greek. And so I go up to Tom and I say, hello, what would you like prayer for? And Tom says, I'd like prayer for healing. For my face. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, why do I always get the difficult ones? And because some require a lot of faith. And so here's two ways not to pray for healing for Tom's face. Would you assume the receiving position, please? And don't look at me like that, okay? Okay. Here's the first way. And this is the evangelical way not to pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we just pray right now that you bring healing to Tom's face. We thank you. We thank you that you don't want anyone to look like that. And you didn't create him to look like that. And Lord, we ask that you have mercy on him. And we plead with you. We give you thanks in advance for what you're going to do. And you say where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst, and you will answer the prayer. And Lord, where there's more than two or three here. And Lord, this is desperate. And Lord, we pray to you for Tom, for Susie's sake, his wife, because she has to wake up every morning and she turns round and she has to see that and she's frightened. And now for his son, Sonny. And Lord, poor Sonny's going to grow up being teased by his friends, by everyone at school, because his daddy has a face like that. And Lord, we plead with you, we plead with you. And do you know, after a while, it's like the Lord's wanting to say, shut up. I know. I can see his face. So you don't... So what I'm saying is, don't kill it with words. Don't kill it with words. I'm an evangelical, so I'm not having a go. I'm a Bible-believing, born-again, evangelical Christian. You know, but sometimes we evangelicals, we have to fill everything with words. And here's the second way not to pray, which is the charismatic Pentecostal way not to pray. Receiving posture. Holy Spirit, would you come? Oh, I can feel the power. Oh, the power's coming. More. Yes. Out. I hit him too hard. I'm so sorry, mate. I hit him too hard. I got carried away. No, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. You're right. You're going to need prayer for something else now. You don't hype the Holy Spirit up. He comes down. So we relax in the paddock. You know, we just chill. Take a chill pill. You don't need to force anything. Don't manipulate. Don't hype. And by the way, I'm as well as being an evangelical, I'm a charismatic Pentecostal Anglican. I am. So here's a way that I think anyone can pray. Just come forward a little bit. He's receiving posture. And Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come and rest upon Tom. And Lord Jesus, you healed lepers, you healed blind eyes, and now we ask that you bring your healing to Tom. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and rest on Tom. And here's what you do next. Here's the technique. Watch carefully. Do you see what I did there? I waited. Wait. And it's not a passive waiting. It's not a standing behind the person. Oh. It's Lord, is there anything you're wanting to say? I'm praying with my eyes open. Is there anything you're wanting to do? And you know, sometimes after you wait a while, I saw it earlier on with some folk we were praying for, you know, receiving posture, the person starts, you start to notice the person responding to the Holy Spirit resting on them. And one of the first ways sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes on someone is they just receive the peace of the Lord and they start to look peaceful. Look peaceful. No, that looks like you're thinking dirty thoughts again. I've told you about that before. We've been through that in the counseling sessions. And if they start looking peaceful, receiving posture, we don't need to start going, oh, look. You know, just keep praying. Lord, more of your presence, more of your presence. Lord, we just pray your release. And you might want to, at some stage, if it's appropriate, put a hand on where it hurts. Or it might be that it's an emotional thing. It might be you might just get a little scripture, just a verse. You just say, don't give a sermon, just a little verse. Or Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I ask for. And then sometimes when God's power comes on a human body, sometimes I saw it happen with the young lady there. They start to shake a little bit. No, they never shake like that. But if they do, we don't need to go, hey, 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 come here, everyone. My one's shaking. Come and have a look. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is it a demon? You know, we don't go there. Don't go there. You know, some people, they might shake. Some people, they might have a lie down. I think there was someone over there that had a lie down while they were praying for him. Thank you, my friend. Am I forgiven? And, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's not about the manifestations. You know, sometimes I've noticed people, we're all built differently. Is everything that happens God? No, of course not. Human beings are involved. We're involved. And so often it's our response to God. And some of us, we respond more, we're more emotional. There's a lady in our church called Ali, who I work with, and I mean, she's so emotional, you have to say hello to her and she cries. You know, so guess what? When she's prayed for, she always cries. And it's like, we know, it's just Ali. There are some of us that are built more in touch with our bodies. And when the Holy Spirit comes on us, when we're being prayed for, we will respond more physically. And some people might lie down. They're not unconscious, they're not dead. They're just resting in Jesus' presence. And when God's Spirit comes on me, I never fall over. And there's a reason for that. If I did, they'd feel the aftershocks in Ireland. So God doesn't do that with me. You know, and there are some people that there's nothing happening. Nothing seems to be happening, but you go to them afterwards and you say, what was going on? They say, do you know what? God was speaking to me in my heart and in my mind and speaking of his love. Well, you know what? That's wonderful. So no one here has to pretend. No one here has to make something up. Sometimes, and we've had it already, I think we had it, was it last night or yesterday morning? Sometimes people start weeping or even occasionally screaming out a little bit. And what that is it's often when in our British culture, stiff upper lip, don't get too emotional. You know, when we get hurt, we bury it. We don't know how to express it. And so when you bury pain, it doesn't go away. It just eats you up inside. And so when God's presence comes and reveals his love, what happens is the pain starts coming out. And we end up expressing it. But it's not Jesus that's making them scream. He's not pulling their hair or anything. It's just the pain that was in there is being released as his love is a safe place. It's a safe place. Do you know, I've just finished with this. Oh my Lord, what's the time? Yeah, I'll absolutely finish with this. There are some, there was one time, and I love this, at one of the festivals about a few years ago, we had an invitation for ministry, and there was three friends. They all came up together, and they were about 15 years old, and they all stood in a line there, and I just was watching them, and they were standing there, and people were praying for them, and they were standing there. They had their hands open as a receiving posture, and then after a while, the two on either side, they fell back under the power of the Spirit, and as I was watching, I noticed the guy in the middle, it was like, you know, sometimes you know something's happened and you're like, and then he opened his eyes and then he went, and he looked a bit panicked and then he went, and then he was like, I could see on his face said, oh no, both my friends have gone down and I'm the last one standing. And then I saw him go, and then he went, and he went down. Bless his little cotton socks. I wasn't going to go down there and say, you two on either side, that was the Lord. That's really good. Well done. You in the middle, you were just making it up. Get up. I'm not going to do that. If people want to fall down, they can fall down. It's a free country. You know, it's not. But you know what? When you realize, I don't need to help God. Let's keep integrity. And you know, if in the church we do this a new way, let's do it a new way. Let's not close off to God's supernatural moving, because it's all over Scripture. But let's do it biblically. Let's do it kindly. Let's remember that Jesus reveals his power in order to show us his love. And you know what? I've got so many stories that I will go to heaven with. Of people whose lives were changed because we dared to step out. Here's my last sentence. You can do this. This is for you. You can do this. Now, don't suddenly leave here. This is a suggestion. And go out onto the street and the first person you meet, you start saying, ah. And you give, you know, like, don't go, when I haven't been to the gym for a while, which is regularly, and I start going back, you know, I start lifting the light weights first. And I lift the light weights because when I lift the heavy weights first, when I haven't been for ages, I damage myself. And then I can't walk and then I can't move and all of that. So I lift the light weights. And then when I've done that, a bit more. And then after 3 days, I'm Superman. A bit more than 3 days, and never quite Superman. I lied. But you know what? Just start with your friends, humbly. You know, can I just pray for you? Make it a practice to pray for each other and to make space. And you know what? The other thing, this is my last thing. I said last time it was the last thing. I lied then. I'm telling the truth now. This is the truth. You know what? Sometimes what Jesus did, you know, sometimes Jesus' prayers were really short. Have you noticed how short Jesus' prayers were? Here's one of them. See. Here's another one. Hear. Walk. I mean, you can memorize those. It doesn't have to be, oh, loving God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is revealed to us in your word. Lord, you think, you know, you don't need to do all that stuff. Don't get religious. God hates religion. You know, and you can just say, I speak to this condition in Jesus' name, and I say, go. Sometimes you can do that. Either, you know what, if it doesn't, it means we're learning. It means there's a kingdom mystery of now and not yet. The kingdom is here and not in all its fullness. You know what? When we witness, when we preach Jesus, not everyone becomes a Christian. Does that mean we stop preaching Jesus because not everyone becomes a Christian? No, we say, you know what? We want to get better at preaching Jesus. We want to keep going and we want to just pray more. Now, no, not everyone gets healed. Not everyone will meet the Lord. Does that mean we stop praying for that? No. It means we say, hey, I want to grow in this. I'm going to go to the spiritual gym regularly. All right, I'll shut up. Band, come up and give everyone hope.